day to bless your holy name. Father, help us to walk before you, pleasing you, honoring you, doing that which glorifies your holy name. May your exalted name be exalted in us and through us. And may we receive that empowerment, that enlightenment that causes our lives to be truly transformed as we are transfigured into the image of who you are. Blessed be your holy name forever, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I made a very strong statement this morning that I do believe that this is the most important message that I could possibly share with us. And that's not a flippant word or thought. A few years ago, suppose 2015, 2016, all the way to 2020, there was a race for presidency in the United States, and there was a man who became president of the United States at the time, and he had a word that he coined that we now use. He called the news media fake news. I mean, if you remember that, every other statement, fake news, and while he's speaking, you say, there they are, fake news. The red lights just went off. Fake news. Well, if I were to caption this message today, I would call it fake worship. And you might say, why do you think that this is the most important message you can preach? Well, because it is the foundation of sin, fake worship. Actually, when you break down the origin of sin, it had to do with worship. Satan stopped worshiping and putting God in the highest place that he ought to, and he wanted to be like God. The breakdown of worship became the genesis for sin and continues till this day to be the genesis of sin. Our positioning ourselves not to do the will of God. God has given us a free will, but that free will is for us to make the right choices. Amen? Hallelujah. Please hear what I'm saying to you today. Because if you and I get the foundation of this truth, come here. If you get the foundation of this truth about worship and God having the rightful place in your life, if they take your Bible from you, take your hymn books from you, take everything from you, you will still live right because you have the fear of God. They can take everything, but God has embedded within us that capacity to know what is good and what is not good. And that which is good is always that which honors God and glorifies God. And that which is not good dishonors God. Hello? Okay. It is in you. He says, I'm going to write my words, my commandments in your heart. He says to us in Acts 17, we are his offspring. And he wasn't just talking about Christians. He was talking about all Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, from every race, from every nation. You are the offsprings of God. The godness of God is embedded, has been established inside of you and inside of me. And that godness of God, as we said this morning, you can do nothing without God. So for God receiving worship, God has to worship himself, reverence himself in you. God has self-respect. Hallelujah. God has self-respect, self-worship. All of it comes to him and comes out of him. And when we obey the instruction of God, we are worshiping God. We established that this morning. Worship is saying yes to God. Worship is reverencing God. Worship is total surrender to God. Worship is beholding God and being transformed into who he is. Hallelujah. When we worship God, we surrender to him the miracles of our life. We give him all. There's nothing we hold back from him. In fact, the Bible tells us that after all is done and we have our crowns, that we're going to lay it at the feet of the Father. Even the Lord Jesus Christ comes and puts his crown at the feet of the Father, that the Father may be in all. Do we understand? That no matter what you achieve in this life, no matter what you accomplish in this life, that you've got to place it at the feet of the Father and say, Father, if it were not for your grace and your mercy, I wouldn't have been able to accomplish this. And when we do that, we are no longer proud and arrogant, and God hates pride. The reason God hates pride is because pride does not allow you to worship. It causes you to how wonderful you are. It causes you to look at yourself in the mirror and say, look at me. If God did not give you the grace, you would not be doing. So you honor God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm coming to fake worship. Don't worry. And why it is the most important message I can preach to you in just a moment. The word of God says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, Philippians 2 and 10, my screens are not on tonight. Hallelujah. Philippians 2 and 10. That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should what? Bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And watch the next statement. To the glory of whom? To the glory of whom? So when we bow our knees to Jesus, it is our obedience, come. It is our obedience to the command of God, the Father. We pray to the Father. We don't pray to Jesus. We pray in the name and the authority of Jesus, but the Father is the focus of everything. And so when the Father said, you come through Jesus, not through Buddha, not through Muhammad, not through anybody else, he is breaking the spirit of pride. The reason Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by him, is because God is trying to break the spirit of pride and bring us to the place where we truly worship. It doesn't matter how many times you pray and you bow yourself and put your head on the floor and stand up or cross your leg and do the Buddha and whatever else. That is not worship, because it is not sanctioned by the Father. God, the Father, did not say that's the way. No matter how you did it with all of your heart, worship is an act of humility and obedience to the dictates of God. Are we together so far? And this has to happen in every realm, of the things in heaven, the things in the earth, the things under the earth. All things are to bow to the authority of that glorious name. God speaks to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to us in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Mark 12 and verse 30. He says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment: loving God with all that you are." What is your spirit, your soul, your mind, your strength? What is that all about? That is the glory that God has placed in you. All that you are, spirit, soul, and body. Everything that you are, love God with all that you are. He says that's the first commandment. And then it says the second one is like the first. You should love your neighbor as thyself. Now that commandment, listen, child of God, if you don't know it, whatever God says for you to do, he does. Give that a thought and let it settle. Whatever God says for you to do, he does. If God doesn't do what he says, he sins. So when God says, "Love, thou shalt have no other gods before me," he's speaking to himself. Don't you ever have any other gods before me. Nothing can be more important than me, to me. Are we together so far? God does it. Now, flip it. God is number one, and God says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So in essence, God is saying, just as much as you love me, I want you to love you. And love other people with the same intensity to do the right thing by them. And God calls that worship. The obedience to his command is worship. It is not how many songs we sang. It's not how loud we clapped. It's not how loud we shouted. No, how obedient are you to my instructions? The Word of God says, continuing, it says to us in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, He says, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth. Notice what he says, they draw near to me with their mouth. Of course, God says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. He says, but you drawing near to me with your mouth and honoreth me with their lips. It's not that you did not honor me, you honored me with your what? Lips. But their heart is far from me. This is partial worship. This is fake worship. Saying, I love God, but not with all of my heart. Hallelujah. We sang just a moment ago. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You deserve all the glory. Awesome. That's great. I deserve all the glory. I asked you to forgive James. And you've not forgiven him yet. You're not honoring me. I am able only to forgive you as you forgive others their trespasses towards you. You're making me become something else. A God who does not forgive because you won't forgive. Because I cannot forgive you because you won't forgive. You are not worshiping. Because worship is you willing to forgive. Yes, it is hurtful. Yes, it is painful. Yes, it is a sacrifice. Yes, it's all of that. But because you obeyed my instruction, you have pleased me. Because worship pleases God. And as we said this morning, you cannot truly worship God and obey God if you cannot hear God. You have to be able to hear God. And when you hear God, faith is birthed inside of you. And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to do what? Please God. And when you are not obedient to God, you are not pleasing God, which means faith has not been established in your heart. Which means that you, just like the devil, are living a pretentious life. This is the foundation to why you are a believer. Guess what? The reason Jesus is effective is he obeyed God even unto death. It is his obedience that was his worship. Who's going to go for us? I will. That's obedience. Jesus lent what? He lent what? He lent obedience. It is something that you learn, you grow in. Step by step, you follow the mandates of God to live the life of obedience and fulfillment. We're talking about worship, what it means. Hallelujah. He says, but in vain, watch this statement, but in vain they do what? Worship me. In vain, you're wasting your time because you've not done it with all that you are. Your clapping is not impressing me. Your beautiful voice is not impressing me. Your banging on those drums and keyboard is not impressing me. None of that is impressing me. What impresses me is that you're obeying my command. Stop arguing with me about what the truth is. This is in vain. You worship me. and you teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. Whatever man formulates and says, I think this is what the will of God is. He says, that's what you're following. You're not following what I said. How many times have we followed the doctrines of men, the teachings of men, and have not followed the basic truth of what God says? Do you and I understand that it's impossible for us to keep the commandments of God? And that God's grace is what enables me to live the God life. And therefore, I do not need to come up with a doctrine that says, it's okay, you're just human. God is not interested in you just being human. He says, I'm going to make you a new creation. All things is going to pass away. Behold, all things are going to become new. You're going to be able to live the kind of life that I have ordained is truly the kind of life you can live. He says, so I am going to give you holiness and true righteousness, and all you need to do is put it on. Put on the new man, which after God, not after what the world says is the standard. God doesn't care about the standards that we come up with. No, his standard is the same standard. It has been the same standard from ancient of times. God's word doesn't change because we're in the 21st century. Oh, you know, that was in the 20th century. Oh, that was in the first century. You should become modernized. God is not a modern man. He's the ancient of days, and he's not changed. And he says, this is the way we do it, the old way, the only way. And I need to align myself with that. You see, the judgment. Some came and said to him, we heal the sick in your name. We cast out demons in your name. He said, get away from me, I don't know you. Why is that? But it was in his name. But he says, get away from me, I don't know you. Why? Because there are people who are moving in some kind of power and they are not surrendered to God completely. It's fake worship. Fake news. You know, as I was coming to the house of the Lord this evening, I shuddered as I thought, is it possible there are people that we said, oh, this one has gone to heaven. This one is before the Lord. You know, God, oh yes, she was a real saint. He was a real saint. And they are nowhere close because their lives did not represent that which God says. They died with bitterness, with unforgiveness. They died rather than loving people, being critical of people and judging people and saying all kinds of stuff. They died not honoring God. They died without surrendering their lives to God. You see, child of God, what I'm saying to you tonight is this, that your worship is your soul winning. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is worship. But you are a believer. You've been a believer for 20 years. You've not led one soul to the Lord yet. You've not spoken to anybody. You've not even tried. As if it was your capacity that's going to change anybody. God didn't say you're going to change anybody. He said, just go preach. Throw the seeds. I'm going to take care of the rest of it. Jesus tell people about the love of God. Be an example, a testament of the goodness of God. And just be like me. Cast the net out. I'll take care of the rest. But we haven't. I'm a Christian. Huh? You're a Christian. What does that mean, Christian? Yes, it means to be a follower of Christ, but it also means to be Christ-like. It means to have the anointing of the Christ on your life, the anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens. It means that you are following the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that even though the place that God is calling you to sacrifices are far off, you are heading in the direction of that mountain, knowing it's going to cost you your son. But you obey God. Like we said today, the first time the word worship is used, it is used concerning Abraham and Isaac going to that mountain. I and the lad shall go yonder and worship. You know, living for God can seem impossible. But He is a master teacher. And He says in His word, hear Him. He says, I'm not going to allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear, but I will always provide a way of escape. God knows that there are things that are going to be very hard for us to do. And He says, I'm going to come alongside of you. Listen, I'm not going to ask you to give your only son without me giving my only son. Remember what I said earlier? Anything God says to you to do, He's got to do. Yeah. He's got to do. And that should be comforting to you and I. Because, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say right now. I'm still talking about the Word of God. If God says to you, forgive 70 times, 7 times in a day, guess how many times He has to forgive you? The same time. The same amount of times. If God says for you to give, guess what He has to do? He has to give. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If God says for you to have faith, guess what He has to do? Have faith. Oh, you don't think God has to have faith? You want me to go through scriptures tonight? I'll keep you for another 4 hours. God moves by faith. God believes. Say, what does God believe in? God believes in you. God believes in you. He believes that you can do it. God is always, yes, you can do it, son. Go for it, go for it, go for it. I have faith in you. And He gives you that drive and that capacity to believe. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God does not leave you to do it yourself. He comes and empowers you to do that which He wants you to do. Praise the Lord. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, you've not given us the full, the fake worship yet. Well, let me get you there. We have to start from somewhere. Let's go to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. In rapid fire form, let's get this plane to land. In 1 Samuel 15 and verse 1, the Bible says, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over His people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken, somebody say hearken, that means listen, thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Listen to what God's word has to say to you, you were anointed to be king. So now, as a king, listen. Oh, I love the word of God. God says, you've been anointed to be a what? A king. Now, therefore, as a king, do what? Listen. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. He created and established a people that are kings and priests. You're a king and a priest. Do you know that's the word of God? It's right there in the book. And he's saying, as a king, take instruction, listen to my instruction, and as a king, exercise the authority of a king and do. As a king, do it. You have been authorized. Do it. You can do it because I've ordained you as a king. The problem is many times we don't see ourselves as what God says we are. See, when God says you're a king, listen to this, and you say, I'm not a king, I'm just a worm, guess what you just did? You did not worship. Because worship is aligning yourself with what God says about you. If God says you are a saint and you keep on going every day, every night, oh, I'm such a terrible sinner. You're not worshiping. You thought that your I'm just a terrible sinner was worship. No, that's pride. When God's word says that he's made you a new creation and the old things are passed away and you are still saying, all the old is still here. That's pride. That's not believing God. It says, I anointed you as king. Listen like a king and obey my instructions as a king. Hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. The Amalekites were of Esau. Amalek was the son of Esau. Esau was the one that traded his true birthright for some porridge. He did not take as important the grace and calling of God on his life. And if you are a believer and you do not take as important that which God has given to you and called you and you've made mess of it and you don't honor it, then you place yourself in the spirit of Esau and the spirit of Amalek. The Amalekites, when Israel was crossing away from Egypt and coming to the promised land, the Bible says they attacked Israel from behind without provocation. Israel didn't go looking for them. They just attacked Israel from behind. They saw Israel, and these are backstabbers. If you're a backstabber, you're not a worshiper. You have the spirit of Amalek. And God hates it. And God says, I am going to be the enemy of every backstabber like the spirit of Amalek. He says, for how he laid wait for him in the way. When he came up from Egypt, Amalek was there. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. This is a total wipeout. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telam. Telam means lambs. 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them. Verse 5, and Saul came to a city of Amalek. He came to what? A city of Amalek, and laid wait in the valley. Because the Amalekites were dwellers in the valley. In fact, that's what the name Amalek really means. A dweller in the valley. A person who is always stuck in the low point. He goes to a city. Someone say a city. Now the Amalekites had more than one city. But he goes to one city and he overthrew that city. He says, and Saul said unto the Kenites, the Kenites are smiths, they fashion weapons. He says, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites. In other words, don't give arms to the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. One didn't show kindness, the other one showed kindness. The Kenites were staying together with the Amalekites. He says, get out. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites. The name Agag is similar to the word Pharaoh as it relates to the Egyptian kings. For the Amalekites, it was Agag. He took Agag, the Amalekite king, alive, but he utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and all of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and will not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. In essence, they destroyed everything that they thought was no good. They destroyed all the junk, but they kept all the amazing stuff. Why? God told them, destroy everything. But he took the king and he took all the sheep, nice, beautiful sheep. Oh. And he comes home with them. And Samuel the prophet hears this by the directives of God. And God says to Samuel, it repented me. I repent that I have set up Saul to be king. I had faith in the wrong man. Have you ever had faith in the wrong person? God says, I take responsibility for this. If God takes responsibility for something that went wrong, guess what? He expects us to take responsibility. Why do you think God did that? It's not that God does not know what Saul is going to do. He knew it. But he wanted us, you and I, to learn how to take responsibility for mistakes that we have made. You get the point? So God had to make himself vulnerable to somewhat make a mistake so that he can repent of the mistake that he made. When you are a true worshiper, you take responsibility for your wrong. I made a mistake here. And God says, I repent. For he is turned back from following me. He is turned back from following me. He has turned back from following me. I gave an instruction and he turned back, which means he was following. But he stopped following and turned back from continuing. The word of God says, you are truly my disciples if you continue in my word. And when you continue in my word, you will know the truth. And the truth that you know is the truth that will set you or make you free. So bondage is about not continuing. Did you get that? Worshiping is continuing. In John 8, he challenges those Jews that followed him, and he gave them that word, and they challenged him and said, hey, we're not in bondage to anybody. We're sons of Abraham. Liar, liar, liar. The Romans are right there. You're in bondage to them. And you're saying, we're not in bondage to anybody. No, if you are in bondage, acknowledge it. God, I messed up. I need some fixing right now. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. If that's all you're praying, pray that. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. I pray that for 10 hours if you need to. God will show up and he will help you. The only people that do not get help are people who do not continue. God will show you what to do and you will break forth by the Spirit of God and begin to accomplish great things because you are surrendered to the will of God. You know why some people don't go to church? So-called believers? They don't want to hear the truth. Some people will never step through those doors into this church because they know when I go to church, pastor is going to preach the truth. I'm going to get convicted. It's good that you're convicted and not a convict. Change. Me too. We all. So here he is. He's turned back from following me and had not performed my commandments. He had not followed through with my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Do we grieve when sin is present? You know, there are certain things that I've become, I guess, used to. And doesn't bother me anymore. So I don't grieve about it. I didn't come here to preach to you. I came to preach to me. To remind myself, listen, you got to awaken in your spirit. Because eternity is too long a time to spend in the wrong place. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? So Samuel rose early in the morning and he came to Mount Carmel. Carmel. This is the mountain where Elijah is going to have the battle with the prophets of Baal. This is a mountain where he's going to call down fire. And fire is going to come consume the sacrifice. and lick up all the water and everything. This is a mountain that he brought the precious of God. And the precious in that time was water. They've had no water for 3.5 years. It had not rained. He comes to Mount Carmel. The Bible says he set him up a place. And he's gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. Gilgal is a place of circumcision. That's where the Israelites got circumcised. And God was trying to make a point here. I need you to be circumcised in your heart. I need you to know that you have to cut off the flesh and become a person of covenant. We have to come to a place where we're communing one with the other. I need you to come to that place of relationship. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Hello? 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 You were told to kill everything. And the man says, I have performed. So Samuel says to him, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? I'm hearing some Amalekite sheep. I'm hearing some lowing from some Amalekite. They're speaking a different language, this sheep and this oxen. They're not sounding like Jewish ones now. Oh, I love the word of God. I just laugh sometimes when I read the word. It's so funny. Yes, it's... So you obeyed all the commandments of God. So this meh that I'm hearing that doesn't sound like the Jewish meh. What is that? Hallelujah. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. You're not taking responsibility. They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people, I anointed you king. I made you to be in charge, and you're telling me the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen, as if I'm going to be impressed because you brought me the very best. I got all of it. All the sheep, all the goats, all the cows, the whales, everything is all mine. I created them. I'm not impressed. Lord, look at me. I'm bringing you $1 million. And God says, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed. God is not impressed by what you bring him when you and I do not follow his instructions. They spared the best to sacrifice unto the Lord, thy God. It's not my God, thy God. It's like sometimes some people will say, you know, Pastor Zeno's church. It's not your church. It's Pastor Zeno's church. Yes, God may have raised us up to be founding pastors and establishing this ministry by his grace. But you have to take ownership of it also and my church. Because until you say my church, you are not taking responsibility and you will not minister, you will not serve, you will not do anything of value in here. He says, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. I did not ask you for the rest. I asked you to destroy all of it. But the man had the boldness, the effrontery, to say that he obeyed God. Let's go on. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord had said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. Look at the arrogance. Speak. Okay. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? When you were small in your own eyes, didn't God exalt you, make you a leader? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Wasn't it God that made you what you are now? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. What are you doing home? What are you doing home? You were supposed to be there until you finish this business. Well, I'm tired. Well, what was it? That was a good one. Didn't we fight? Oh, yeah. Oh, we killed lots of them. Oh, well, let's go home. Oh, sheesh. Oh, man, good job, good job. Yes, circulate your good job. Give yourself a good punch. You're supposed to clean them out, but good job, good job. Celebrate each other. Be happy. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil? You saw the spoil and you got distracted. So the point is that many times our worship, the reason we do not continue is because we allow ourselves to be distracted. Not by the bad. Listen. It was not the bad fruit that got Adam and Eve in trouble. It was pleasant to the eyes. The issue of worship is that we are distracted by the good, the smoke machine, the flashing lights. Oh, this, we had a wonderful worship time. Oh, every time the drummer hit that bass drum, boom, the lights went shoom, shoom, shoom. Oh, yes, my heart started going boom, boom. Oh, yeah. Does it? That's what we had, a good worship time. Hallelujah, God. Come on. When did our worship become the music? Become the singing? That is not what worship is all about. Yes, that can be an expression of worship, but the worship is in our obedience. And when our obedience is in our praising of God, then all that had breath praise the Lord. And I praise the Lord because the word of God says, let all that has breath praise the Lord. Then, I worshiped. Because God commands it, and I'm obeying it. Are we together so far? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have what? Obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I've gone the way which the Lord sent me. Liar! The prophet is right there standing before you. He's telling you what God said, and you're still lying about it. You're still saying you did everything God said you should do, that you did it with all of your heart, but you didn't. And I've brought, you've done everything, but I have brought Agag, the king of the Amalek. And I've destroyed, utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Oh, you've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Guess who is going to kill Saul? It's not an Egyptian. The person that's going to kill Saul, the day Saul dies, is going to be an Amalekite. Because that which God assigns you to deal with, if you don't deal with it, will deal with you. If you don't deal with what God is saying, deal with this thing, you don't deal with it, it will deal with you. Wherever you are disobedient to the directives of God, that disobedience will hunt you down someday, somewhere, and it will be your demise. It's just the way it is. He said, I've utterly destroyed them. But the people, has Saul taken responsibility at all? No. But how did God start? God took responsibility. All Saul needed to do was to take responsibility and say, you know what? I truly messed up and I'm going to change it. He's going to say that in just a moment. He says, but the people took the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, the chief of the things we should have. Now it's changing a little bit. We should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. The pin moved a little bit, but not all the way. And that's where so many of us are. We give partial obeisance to God. And Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? In essence, God is saying, Samuel is saying to him, do you think God is more interested in your money, in your giving, in your burnt sacrifices, than in your obedience? Get this straight. What God does not have, what God does not have is your obedience. The only thing God lacks is your obedience until you give it. Did you hear that? I hope you heard it. That's why the song we sang earlier today, You Deserve It, is so important. All of the glory belongs to you. All of the honor belongs to you. You deserve it. I am bringing it. What God wants from me is not my money. What God wants from me is my heart. When He has my heart, He has my money. He has my family. He has everything. So the man of God says to him, he says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Because when you listen, faith is going to come into your heart. And you're going to be able to say to mountains, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and not doubt in your heart, but believing that those things which you say, because you've been anointed to be king, is going to be as you say it. Hallelujah. My worship authorizes me to stand in the stead of God to declare the will of God done in the earth as it is in heaven.
not from a position of pride and arrogance, look at me, but from a position of, I am representing my Father. And as a representative of my Father, I speak. Let's go on. He says, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. When we rebel against God and His instruction, God says, you're a witch. Oh, you think a witch is the person that's, you know, sitting together in a coven and they're chanting and whatever else and healing curses? Is if you are rebellious, you're a witch. He says, and if you're stubborn, it's as the iniquity of idolatry. Stubbornness. He says, it's like being an idol worshiper. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. But he obeyed partially. And God says, you rejected it because you did not obey it completely. He had also rejected thee from being, present tense continuous, king. Do you know that Saul remained as king for another 20 years? So you can be in a state where you are not worshiping God and still experiencing the position that you had. And that's where it's dangerous. That's why I say this is one of the most important messages I could ever speak to you about. That you can still be functional as a king and be already removed as king. He stayed on. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. When it hit that which was important to him. All this time, he didn't take any responsibility. But as soon as he says, you are no longer the king. I have sinned. As soon as he said, you're no longer the pastor. Oh, I have sinned. His status was more important than the status of God. Did you get that? As long as he could rip off God's status and disobey God, he was fine until what was important to him was now addressed. And he cried out, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. It wasn't thy words. It is the words of the Lord. Because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. Yeah. And that's how we act. One of the things God has trained me through the years is not to have the fear of man. I fear God. I fear no man. No man made me. You've heard me say that before. You didn't hire me. You can't fire me. It's just the truth. The day I start thinking you hired me, that's the day you can fire me. Because that's the day I'll start being afraid of what decisions you make for me. The decision has to be what God is saying. In the natural. I would have a long time ago moved this church from this location. But God never told me to move. And even though it doesn't make any sense for me, financially or otherwise, I stay here. Some may say, that's a foolish decision. But I say, no, it's a wise decision because I'm waiting on the directives of the Lord. Why? It was God who led me to this place and pointed to this building and said, go take that building. And he has not told me to leave this place. So why am I leaving? I'm not going nowhere. I'm here. Because that's what God said. But I also know God said, this is just a stopping point. From the very first day, I was standing just about where the screen is, where the worship W and the worship sign is. That place, I remember hearing it, this is just a temporary stop. This is not the place. I heard it. And I thought, that's going to mean, you know, been here for a year, 2 years. I've been here now with you close to 20 plus, almost 30 years. 95. Yeah. April the 15th. That's when we stepped and started the first service in here. That's when we took possession, actually. That's when we took possession of this place. Our first service, main service, was in May. And our first speaker was a dear man of God. I saw him today. He says in 25, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may what? Worship the Lord. That I may worship the Lord. And I may worship the Lord. This act, one, he's still keeping his position as king for another 20 years, but it's out of the will of God. Now he's saying to the man of God, pardon my sin and turn again with me. To follow you to do what? To disobey God? It says that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee. I'm not going the same way you're going. For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord had rejected thee from being king over Israel. Don't call me to come follow you and compromise and accept your sinful ways to preach the kind of message that you want me to preach so that you can feel comfortable. Forget that. I'm not doing that. The word of God says in the last days, we're going to have ministers that have itchy ears, want to tell people what they want to hear. Your felt needs. Let's preach what you want to hear. You want coffee? Huh? Coffee, eh? Yes, let's have some coffee. But there's nothing wrong with having coffee. If you want to have your coffee and your snacks and whatever else, no problem. It's all part of fellowshipping. But if that is what you think is the power that is going to save lives and transform lives, you've got something else coming. It is the power of God. And it says, tarry until you receive power from on high. And you are going to be witnesses unto me. Notice, he says, witnesses unto me. He said, witnesses unto me. I thought I was supposed to be preaching to them. God says, I want you to be witnesses unto me. Come give me the report. Come tell me what has happened today. Tonight, when I go before the Lord, I'm going to thank him for the privilege of sharing the word of God with his saints. And I'm going to say, this is what I said. I said everything you said. I thank you for the privilege that you granted me to preach your word. I honor you, my Father. I give you praise. Now, I'm going to go to sleep. That's what's going to happen. Hallelujah. It says that Samuel turned about to go away. He laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and it rent. Grabbed the disrespect. The man of God, he grabs his mantle. And it's ripped. And Samuel says unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine. That is better than thou. God is going to bring a better than you. And for the rest of the 20 years, Saul was trying to kill the better. Pursuing him everywhere, trying to kill David. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Well, I thought God just repented. So get the point? The repentance was just to show to us that we need to take what? Responsibility. Because God always takes responsibility. Then he said, I have sinned the second time, yet honor me now. I have sinned, but you honor me. Not honor God, honor me. I pray thee before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may what? Worship the Lord thy God. This is fake worship. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Wow. Samuel worshipped the Lord. Who do we have in the church that is worshiping the Lord but have not taken responsibility for their actions, for their disobedience, for their rejection of the will of God? Time is moving faster than I would like. So let me take you to 2 Samuel chapter 1. This man is not following the mandates of God. It says, now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the... It's the Amalekites that Saul is supposed to wipe out. And the first thing that David does is to continue obeying the instruction. David takes it up and he begins to go after those Amalekites. He says, and David abode 2 days in Ziklag. Let me not go into that now because I'm going to spend too much time. And it came to pass on the what? On the third day. I know by now you, every time you see that word three, you are thinking exactly what you should think. Three represent God dealing with your past on day one. Day two, your present. Day three, your future. That's why Jesus was in the grave. On the third day, now behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, From whence comest thou? And he said unto him, Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, That the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. And David said unto the young men that told him, How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan, his son, be dead? And the young man that told him said, As I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, Here am I. Remember what we talked about earlier today in the first service about worship connecting with that word, Here am I am present. When you come to a service, be present. Don't be at Burger King or McDonald's or, I'm missing my Jets game. No, be present. And he said unto me, Who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. These are the people that he was supposed to have wiped out. And he said unto me again, Stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me. For anguish is come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. My life is yet whole in me. Your life is yet whole in you. I'm still alive. But all this time, you still have not taken responsibility. You still have not repented. You still have not made any changes. But the capacity of wholeness to do that is in you. Because God makes you every whit whole. He said the wholeness is still there. The capacity is still there. But I'm dying. So I stood upon him and slew him. Who slew him? An Amalekite. The thing that he was supposed to cut off has now caught up with him and cut him off. If God says, step away from a sinful act, step away. You may lose a lot. I'm not saying you're not going to. When you give your life wholly to God, you may lose friends, you may lose family, you may lose finances, you may lose all kinds of things. But I'd rather lose everything and gain him. Hallelujah. This is what true Christianity ultimately becomes. Totally surrendering to God, obeying him. And when it seems so impossible to obey, ask for his help. There was a man, when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, he had a son that was demonized, and said, I presented my son to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything. And the Lord says, if you just have faith, all things are possible. And man, looking at this situation, said to the Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Lord, I'm willing to be completely sold out to you. This is all new to me.
But help me.
And he said, I'm going to give you a comforter, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, who's going to come alongside of you. He's going to bring to remembrance to you everything that you need to know. He's going to help you. God has not left us helpless and without hope. Remember what we said this morning, the capacity and the ability to worship comes from God. So the worship God is asking me to worship Him, He is going to worship Himself through me. All I need to do is surrender and say, God, have your way in my life. Well, read this, the whole 2 Samuel chapter 1 for yourself. But I would like to stop here. But let me say some other things about worship. If the Lord permits me to go further, I will. Worship is worth-ship. That you recognize that God is worthy. But worship also is worship. That means God makes you His battling warrior. When you and I worship God, God comes and inhabits us. That's when you are able to do all things through Christ. When Jehoshaphat understood worship and was surrounded by enemies, he brought a choir up and they began to sing about the goodness and the mercies of God that endure forever. And the enemy began to fight against themselves and they cleaned themselves out. And they went and they collected all the spoil. And guess what? For 3 days. 3 days, they collect. Who goes to battle and carries all their gold and their silver and their rubies and everything and all their bank account declared and put it in their pocket to go and fight? Who does that? Only God. Only God makes your enemies act foolish and brings them out. But the way for you to get what they've got is worship. May this house, may the people of God in this house be a people who worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen? Hallelujah. Obey the word of God. Surrender to the word of God. Be what God says you are. Don't count yourself out. Count yourself in, recognizing that God is for you. And if God be for you, who and what can be against you? Amen? Rise with me. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. You've heard the word of God this morning. You've heard it again this evening. And you just know, I need to just turn it over to the Lord. I'm going to give you an opportunity to find this altar if that's what you need to do. Just find this space and just talk to God, you and God. Nobody needs to come pray with you and pray for you. You and God, just talk to Him yourself. The altar is all over here. Amen. You know, I see some of you kneeling where you are. But just let God deal with you right now and help you. Father, we surrender our lives to you. Only you can help us. Father, we don't want to be fake. We don't want to be phony. We don't want to be hypocritical. We just want to be real. And Lord, oh God, in that reality, we are taking responsibility and we're saying, God, we've sinned against you. We've done that which is wrong. We've not fulfilled our assignment as we should. And we're asking, oh God, for your guidance, your leniency, your mercy, your help. Help us. Help us do what you say we should do. Help us to continue in faith, to live life as you have called us to. Help us in every calling, that our obedience not be partial, but be fervent, that we continue to do what you've called us to do, and that we abide in the righteousness that you've called us to. Show to us those areas that we need to change and help us to make the necessary changes. We trust in you and we worship you in spirit and in truth. And all of God's people together in agreement said, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This time, let us honor God with our giving. Our worship is in our obedience concerning giving. God has asked us to honor him with our tithe, with our offerings, with our vows, with our first fruits. Let's do that. The Word of God says that a tithe is to fill his house. But then he says, if you want your house filled, you need to honor him with the first fruit. Do that. Amen? Bring first fruit to your priest. And God says, that's how I'm going to bless your home. That's how I'm going to bless your house. The way I bless my house is you honor me with your tithe. The way I bless your home is with the first fruit. And that is very important. I remember many years ago, many years ago, God spoke to somebody to sow an exorbitant amount of money. Into my life. They did what seemed to be a large sum as far as I'm concerned. I did not know what God told them, but they did not do it. What happened? This person that was mega wealthy, God was trying to protect them. When God asks you for something, he knows what he's doing. I know of a man. God said to this man, says, every time you see him, give him this amount. I will not tell you the amount. But I'll say, let me put it this way. Say, first time you see him, give him a dollar. That dollar represents a very large sum. I'm not kidding. See, the next time you see him, give him 10. The next time you see him, give him 100. The next time you see him, give him 1,000. The next time you see him. Now, the numbers that God told that person ended up being in the millions. He had the capacity. He didn't do it. Guess what he did, what happened? He lost everything. When God speaks to you and says, I want you to do this, be smart, do it. He knows what he's trying to do. Do it. So, Pastor, are you trying to put the fear of God in me? Baby. God doesn't play. No, God is real. And if you mess with his godness, he will show you who the boss is. I've learned that. I've had my disciplines. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just obey me. This church has not grown numerically because of my disobedience. When God told me many years ago, when we first started, we were growing like mega. He said, move from the music room to the gym. I did not do it because of what somebody else did. God did not blame them. God came after me. It's the first time God ever yelled at me and told me, you are not going to see 70 people again. Within 2 weeks, we dropped to 15. We did not see 70 people. I can have major crusades out there, hundreds and thousands of people, but I did not see it in the house. But God has forgiven me. And I thank him for that. So I expect appreciation from the house. Amen? Bless you. Have we honored God with our giving? Amen. Rise with me one more time. Let me speak the blessing of the Lord over you. May God's grace abound towards you. May you flourish and may you blossom. In every area of your life, may God's goodness be revealed like never before. Shine, 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 for the glory of God is risen upon you. Shine brightly. And flourish in righteousness and in truth. To the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' mighty name, we decree it so. Amen and amen. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you on Wednesday. I see a young man over there. I'll come say hello to you in just a moment. But those that are online, let me see.